When I was growing up in elementary school, periodically we'd break out the movie reels and start showing a film. And you always knew when there was a film being shown. I mean, now the suspense is gone from kids. There might be a DVD in there, it might be something on the laptop, you don't know. But when we walked into that classroom and the reel was fed through the projector, you knew you were going to get to see something. And periodically they would show a little cartoon with Jiminy Cricket. Now most people here know who Jiminy Cricket is, but for those of you that don't, Jiminy Cricket hung out with Pinocchio. And if you don't know who Jiminy Cricket or Pinocchio is, then you'll have to ask your parents. But Jiminy Cricket had these little shorts, and they were actually made in the 50s. I didn't know that, the 1950s. And Jiminy Cricket had this good boy and the fool. And he would teach us, watching this little short animated clip, about what it means to be a fool and what it means to be a good boy. And he sang a little song. Remember the song? I'm no fool, no siree. I'm going to live to be 33. I play safe for you and me because I'm no fool. I remember that's in my head. The fool always did things that were the wrong things to do, and the good boy did the good things. Did you see any of those in school?
Nope.
You missed out. Now I got to go home and YouTube them and see if they're out there, because YouTube has everything. But the point is that there's foolish things you do in life, and there's smart things, wise things you do in life. And our reading today from Corinthians, Paul points out there are smart things you do, and there are foolish things. And the ways of the world have things backwards. They look at the cross and they say that's foolishness. And yet they continue to do things in the world that are worldly. And we know them to be foolish, but they consider them to be wise. It's backwards. It's mixed up. And Paul's message to the Corinthians today is that the foolishness of Christ is wiser. Wiser by far than the wisest ways of the world. God's ways of wisdom are certainly not our ways. We learned that last week. We went on and talked about the things that God considers to be wise, and they do seem a little backwards to us at times. But He has a plan. His plan's perfect. I mean, think about this. Think about the king coming. The Jewish people knew the king was coming, that the great Messiah, the one who would come and deliver them, was on his way. And yet, God sent him in this tiny little bundle, this innocent child born in a manger around the animals, no room in the inn. You know the story. Does that seem wise? Well, certainly to those of us that are not a part of the church, it does seem a little strange. To a Jew at that time, they would certainly think this isn't the king that's coming to rescue us and save us. And this child grew up, mere carpenter's son. By the time he was 30, started out into ministry, and in the end was nailed to a cross. Is that your king? Our cross is no longer up there. I've lost it. But is that your king? Nailed to a cross? Is this the one coming to save us? They couldn't get it. Even those of us in the church at times are confused by what God has in store for us. I mean, look at the story today of Elijah. Elijah, a great prophet. You look back over all the prophets, Elijah stands up there as one of the greatest. And he got to the point where he threw his hands up in the air and said, I got to run away. No one believes anymore. Everyone's turning to the worldly ways and they're losing their faith. They're breaking their covenant. And he runs off to, it says Mount Horeb, but it's really Mount Sinai. Different name, same place. And he went into a cave. And in the end, God said, what are you doing? What are you doing here? It's the question we're posed with day in and day out. When we run away from the calling that we have in life. When we try to hide in our homes. when we try to hide behind a facade of worldly things, we hear that voice of God saying, "What are you doing here? I want you to do something else. I have a plan for you." And although Elijah thought there was no winning, everyone's turned away, God said, "No, I got 7,000 still lined up." And whether that number's really 7,000 or like many of us who went through the book of Revelation recently, could be symbolic. I have my complete number of people that I'm going to save. What are you doing here? I need you out there, Elijah. It seemed like foolishness to Elijah. He thought, how can I possibly win? Sometimes I think, just in talking to all of you, we have same fears. You see decisions going on, whether it's in your government, whether it's in your school systems, whether it's just out in the world in general, and you say, boy, everything's just getting nasty. How can we possibly turn things around? You know what? God has it all under control. Don't run and hide in the cave. Get out there. Be bold about being a Christian. Bold about what you believe in. He was bold enough to die on a cross for us. The least we can do is be bold enough to say, I believe in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's the least we can do. So even when things seem lost and hopeless, we have a God who is powerful. He won. But the people around us, they're going to think anything we have to say about Christ is foolishness. It was this way back in Elijah's time. It was this way back in Christ's time. It will be this way during our time. Everything, there's nothing new under the sun. They will think that what we believe in is foolishness. They will think that a couple from Wisconsin who makes the decision, I'm going to go down to El Salvador, but I'm only staying for 3 months. And in the end, how many years later? Three? 3 years later, or some great time later, and still going back, people say, that's foolishness. What are you doing? You could be in Wisconsin. You can have great cheese. You can have a beautiful house. You got the Packers. Why are you giving all that up? We know it's not foolishness. This is what we're called to do. I have no idea, but I can just guess that when you arrived back home and you were there for quite some time, taking care of different things, that maybe you heard that voice. What are you doing here? Get back down there. These people need you. The Jews at that time, they were very concrete thinkers. When Christ was on the earth, they were concrete. Show me evidence. Give me a sign. And we know, reading through the Gospels, that Christ displayed many miraculous signs. I mean, John's Gospel is full of signs. And when the Son of Man came to the Pharisees and the scribes, he said, I am the bread of life. And he said, show me a sign, prove it. It's almost like asking a dog to perform a trick. How degrading. How can you not see that this is the one you've been waiting for, the one you've read about in your scriptures? And he's standing right in front of you, the one to save you from your sins. They were fools. The Greeks, however, were different. The Greeks didn't want to see signs. They wanted to theorize. They, I always have this picture, sitting around, scratching their beards and maybe laying back, and they theorized about everything. They came up with some great theories. I mean, certainly truths that we continue to use today in the area of mathematics and literature. But when it came to God, they didn't get it. And what Paul is doing is he's just summing everyone up. The people that want to see the facts and the people that want to theorize. If that's where you stand in life and you don't have God as your worldview, you're a fool. I mean, you're going to think what we believe is foolish, but in the end, you're the fool. Science, I look back, and science at one time had God as a worldview. They looked through the magnifying lens, and they said, God created this, now let me figure out what he did. And today, I'm afraid that it seems like we've taken a step maybe backwards into the foolish realm, where a good number of scientists, anyways, start out by saying, I believe in nothing. Now let me figure it all out. It's foolishness. Doesn't matter. The wisest man in the world, if he doesn't have Christ as his backbone, if he doesn't have Christ as his worldview and faith in his heart, will simply be a fool. But God called us. All of us sitting here, he called us. And that's the wisdom. The power of God is the wisdom. The wisdom that allows us to know who we are. We are saved through that foolish cross. We are saved through the crucified Son. We are saved and have eternal life in him. And that's the wisdom that Paul writes about. When you start talking about your Christian life, you have to wonder, how committed are you? I mean, Elijah had a moment where he ran and hid in a cave. We have those moments too. But he was still committed. He still believed. Elisha, when he had the cloak thrown on him, he killed his cattle. He burned up the yoke. He gave up his livelihood. Peter had a fishing business, or at least was a part of a major fishing business. And when he saw what the Lord could do, he walked away from it all. It was a life-changing moment. And we have life-changing moments like that as well. I mean, just because we had a pig roast yesterday, I can't help to think about the difference. When you have a, how's this go? When you have a bacon and egg breakfast, who's committed and who's just involved? The chicken or the pig? The pig is committed. To get that bacon, and last night you saw a committed pig. It was turning on the spit. That's it. The sacrifice is up. He gave his all for us to enjoy ourselves last night. The chicken laid an egg. The chicken's involved. When it comes to your Christian life, are you a chicken? Are you committed, or are you just involved? This is our life-changing moment. I'm not saying be like Peter and Elisha and give everything you got up and go join a monastery or something like that. Not at all, but in your heart, are you committed, or are you just involved? This is the Son that saved us, and we're asked to be committed. Our psalm today, Psalm 16, has a verse, "You are my Lord, apart from you I have no good thing." It's so true, and we have such a hard time realizing it. But we have to be committed. I'll add one more illustration here, just because it's one of my favorites. In the movie Star Wars, I'm talking about the real Star Wars, not the last three they put out with Jar Jar Binks and all the crazy things that Lucas made up. But I'm talking about the real first three Star Wars that they released. There was a moment in time when Luke Skywalker was off on the planet and was being taught by the great Yoda, the wise and great Yoda. And he was trying to raise his ship that had crashed in the swamp through his mental powers. And he couldn't do it. And suddenly he turned to Yoda and he said, after he tried to raise the ship and it just wouldn't do it, Yoda said, "Concentrate, concentrate." And Luke said, "I'm trying." And Yoda said, "There is no try. Do or do not." In Christianity, there are no involved Christians. You're either committed or you're not. Do or do not. Get out there and show the world that you are wise, regardless of what they think of you. But show them your wisdom through the ways you act, through the things you do and from what you tell them that you believe, that Jesus Christ, crucified on a cross, is my Savior and Lord. That's wisdom. It's the wisdom that Paul is preaching here to the Corinthians. And that's the message for you today. The foolishness of Christ is so much wiser than the wisest of this world. Amen.